with the shock of revenue, we need an IT person to come and get the screens on. But I think because we've already lost about 20 minutes, I'm going to try and start with some of the work that we need to do today, so that by the time they come and set up, we'll be able to do the work. Because it needs passwords to connect. Welcome, colleagues, honorable members, Minister, Deputy Minister, welcome. We've circulated to members what we sort of worked out as a program for today. And just to go into apologies first, I've got an apology from Honorable Mabe, who's attending another committee. I've got an apology for Honorable Maseko is on CPA conference in Tanzania. Honorable Killian is on family responsibility leave. And then Honorable Mackenzie is not well, has been booked off. He's sort of injured himself, so he's not well. I think we'll keep on checking as colleagues. Those are the apologies that I've received from members. I think let me just get some of the work out while we're waiting for the presentations to go on site, for the presentation to be sorted. I know agenda we're going to deal with other things. Maybe let me just take one of the members. We distributed the oversight report. Can we just deal with that while we're waiting for the screens to be sorted? I get it out of the way. I don't know if members have corrections in terms of the report, because we're going to need it to be going through the committee. I'll take it in terms of corrections. I will not say page. We know if somebody has pages, I hope members have read it. It's from page 1 until page 35 in terms of the report distributed. We've written the report. You remember that it's the report in terms of our oversight visit to Gauteng and KZN. We visited Centec, SAPO, Telkom, CETA, USASA project, and IKAMVA University of Durban. Members, shall I note if there are any corrections to the report? No corrections. I noted that there were few that were there on the oversight. Any corrections in terms of the content of the report? The report, true reflection of our oversight. I think we've worked and worked and worked and reworked. I think I lost track of how many times I read this report, but I'm hoping that with the less hands of corrections, it's a sign that we've really tried to get it to be the right report. And you'd see that in terms of the report as well, members, there are recommendations. You might note some of the issues might have been resolved already or responded to, but formally we have to table the report to the National Assembly for it to be adopted and sent to the department and the entities for feedback, formal tabling as the response to the report. Any comments on it? Okay, the screens are being set up. Any mover for the adoption of the report? Honorable Ndongeni, seconded by Honorable Sodit. Thanks, members. That is out of the way. We'll submit the report for... Are we getting it done now? Okay. Because we're almost there, I'm just going to, before, then we'll come to the meeting of today, and we'll deal with the minutes later and the oversight visits. Just, colleagues, as we sent out the request to have this discussion today, you'd note that you have already tabled your annual report, so the discussion is not on your annual report. The discussion is not on your annual report, the discussion is on quarter three. I hope we do understand. When we come back, we are going on the first after the oversight. I think from the week of the 14th, we are dealing with the, not the annual report, man. We're dealing with your strategic plans and your budget. It's the budget process. So we don't expect to be dealing with that. We'll have our time to deal with the annual report. Now, with the issue of processes as well, we're expecting accountability for the quarter three. We've not looked at the other quarters, but we've just wanted to have a sense of the quarter three in terms of the performance of the entities together with the department and the finances. We've asked specifically to have the chairpersons of the audit committees, both in the department and in the entities. There are a number of issues that are regularly raised by the Auditor General, but at times as well you find audit committee chair has signed certain things and statements on the annual report and want to have an engagement. And I want to say it up front, even during the annual performance assessment, we are going to request the chairpersons of the audit committees to be present. Because once they sign off the accounting process or the financial statements, we're expecting that they should be able to respond to some of the issues that we are raising. And this precisely because when we met with the Auditor General as chairpersons of committees, there was a concern that the Auditor General was raising to us to say, year after year, same issues are being raised and nothing seems to be done about those issues. And these are the questions we'll be posing to the auditor, the chairpersons of the audit committee. Because what we are looking for is to understand what is it that you are doing within these entities to assist in terms of the issues that have been raised, but you turn around the situation. We don't want to sound like old records. Every year we raise the same thing. Auditor General raises, we come to the committee, it's like now a ritual. We say, no, but the Auditor General raised this. At least there must be improvement. We must see that things are being resolved and that are concluded. But another issue that I need to flag to all accounting officers is PFMA's issue of accountability in terms of PFMA. That you've got to understand when you come before the committee, you are appearing before a committee of parliament, and therefore we are requesting honesty, and we are not expecting to be misled, because we wouldn't want a situation whereby as a committee now we start inquiries because we have been misled. I'm saying this up front so that we understand in terms of accounting before the committee what it means. So we want to make sure that we understand our responsibilities, and when we account to Parliament, the responsibility that we carry as accounting officers. Because when you appear before committee, the information you present is recorded. When we come to annual assessment, we'll utilize that as well as a reference. I'm making an example because we had to submit on a case where somebody misled Parliament and there's evidence of it. It's a criminal offense. We're sitting with that situation where we just picked that up. So I'm just appealing to accounting officers so that we're not finding ourselves in trouble in future. But we've got to understand in terms of disclosures and accountability what we are expected to do and how we must be able to to interact with the committee and the consequences thereof. If some information that is given to the committee appears to be wrong. Yesterday again, I think, Minister, I'm sitting with two cases. Yesterday again, I received another one. It's a public person who is lodging now a complaint and has evidence that the committee was misled twice. So we're going to have to deal with that. A presentation was done to the committee giving information, and the person has evidence to contrary to what we have presented before us. So it's something that I think I felt that I need to be clear up front, colleagues, so that when we are expected to do inquiry as a committee, we are not seen to be sort of chasing the winds. We've got to be able to understand that Parliament is a statutory body, it has responsibilities, and therefore misleading Parliament is quite a criminal offence, if we are to put it that way. Before I allow Minister Gwede to do the opening remarks, colleagues, I think it will be inappropriate for me to behave as if nothing has happened to the country. We've lost one of our own, we've lost a servant to the people, together with his protectors, Minister Chabane, passed away, we would all know, on Sunday through an accident. And I'm going to request that we observe a moment of silence. It's a heavy week for most of us. I guess it's for the country. It's not easy to go on with the work. So I would want us to observe a moment of silence in honor of Minister Chabane and his protectors, Sergeant Lady Kese and Sergeant Lenswan. Thank you, members and colleagues. Okay. Let's just proceed. I'm going to give you one thing I noticed, DG, is that your presentation is very long. Okay. Thanks, Minister. I thought I was just like that.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members of the Committee, Deputy Minister, Director General and Senior Officials, and leaders of our State of Counseling. Good morning. Chairperson, as you have outlined, we are here today to find account to the public through your work as an important committee of Parliament on the work we have undertaken in the third quarter of this current financial year. We do so fully appreciative of the important role you play in ensuring a transparent, responsive government to the needs of transforming our society. As we prepare to account this morning, let me also echo the message you have just said that we are all under this cloud of the passing of Honorable Minister Colin Chabane, who indeed was one of the outstanding servants of the people throughout his life. And we are also, as we send the condolences to his family and the families of the two protectors, as you said, Sotele and Swane, who were also our employees in the department. We also wish Honorable Mackenzie speedy recovery from whatever injury has sustained. Chairperson, the As you said, we have noted the comments about what we are expected to do here, and I honestly hope and pray that we shouldn't do that ever again. When we come here, we must account honestly. Where we fail, we must own up to our failures so that we can learn from our failures. Because if we don't own up and start cooking things, it means we will never learn from those failures. It is in that respect that I also say some of the issues you have raised, in particular the recurring problems. And I'll assure you that some of them are still there. Honestly, we have to really find ways to improve our management of this thing, especially as a ministry, and also oversight to state-owned companies. As we said before, what is really amazing in these environments were the ones who are in the ICT environment. Who's supposed to be the leaders in government in this world. But some of the critical issues, they relate through our poor systems, which fail to alert us in time for some of the problems, on some of the problems. So those are some of the things really we are pledging that we have to pay more focused attention. If we check all auditors' report, both in the department and all entities, we don't have efficient IT systems. And this what leads to some of the irregularities which we're experiencing, and in certain cases, procurement irregularities, and in certain cases, fraud or fraudulent activities. So we have been engaging the department and state entities to really say, we must improve on this. As you may be aware, honorable members, with the formation of the new department, we are supposed to drive that all governments have got effective and efficient IT systems with adequate security platforms to ensure that there's no manipulation of the information, which is so we have to start with us, then go to all government departments. So that's a task which we have as we roll out this infrastructure and integrate our work. I'll admit that we're just at the beginning of that work. In a week's time, I'll be meeting the Auditor General. I'm sure she'll be giving me some of these things, how far we've progressed, but I know for a fact in some of the areas we have not progressed as much as we wish. The issue of ensuring that we have got the correct machine, should they call it CADA? I don't know what the appropriate is. a correct CADA to do the job is one thing which we both in the department and in the state-owned companies. We are working with the presidency to really ensure that as we try and turn around some of these things, we don't repeat the mistakes of the past and hope for different results. In this environment, we need highly skilled cadres who are capable of carrying out the mandate, because we have got the mandate to fulfill to serve the people. So those are the things really we say we're going to start paying more attention. Of course, last year was a difficult year. We're all new in the environment. While we're still trying to understand the environment, we're just thrown into turbulence because most of the entities and the department had serious challenges, which really took our efforts not to be focused on these fundamental things we need to correct as a matter of agency. So So we hope that with the beginning of the new financial year, we should really have a more concerted effort to try and resolve some of these things once and for all. So the issues of vacancies, both in the department and critical vacancies, and also in the entities, is something we are starting to really look seriously. Just last Friday, we were just receiving a progress report on the turnaround of the post office. And when the administrator was, because we said we want to be sure that the management, the whole senior management, is part of this turnaround so that they own up to it much earlier. To my surprise, every senior manager was there, was acting this. And that worried us a bit. And we did ask the administrator that we really should start a process of employing capable people to take some of those positions as soon as we finalize the turnaround and the new business model of the post office, because that should be the priority, because if you have got everyone acting, it becomes difficult to actually implement. I think that's a situation we are trying to encourage. our departments and some of the entities, particularly those who have got problems, financial problems, they don't have CFOs. And we're very urged that these processes must be expedited, because without CFOs and when you have got financial problems, it becomes really a problem on how to ensure that the legal finances we have are better managed and preserved. So those are the things I'm just trying to say. We are aware of some of these challenges, Shepherdson, and that's why I said, let me first confess as a Christian to you that we do have challenges. But despite these challenges, there is some work. There is progress. Some of the slowness in our progress is caused by these inefficiencies I've just mentioned, but some of them are caused by issues which are beyond the control of the MPP or specific MPP or department. It is in that regard, then I felt that I should just be frank, as you say, and try and encourage the department and the entities to report frankly too, because that's the only way we can correct our mistakes. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Minister, for those remarks. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'll try to summarize. I'll try to do my presentation maybe in 7 minutes and hand over to the DG Villegas just to deal with the finances. Moving on to slide number. Sorry, I don't see the slide number. Maybe just to build on what the Minister said. What we're finalizing the third quarter report. In terms of the SPM, the Strategic Planning Monitoring Policy, it states that I just need to get the policy. The quarter three or every quarter should be populated. I think it's the 15th of every month. When it was populated, the initial reflection showed that the performance of the department was sitting at around, I think it was about 26. Percent. This is what was captured on the system. I was taken aback by the report. I then had engagement with the different DBGs. I think the critical areas of concern was the ICT infrastructure, it was the SOC branch, and I think it was the infrastructure, the ICET branch. what was concerning was that when I engaged the DDGs, they were also taken aback by the report that was captured. In terms of the system, Honorable Chairperson, the information is captured by each branch has designated someone who is responsible for capturing the information. But the system is designed in such a way that once the information is captured, each DDG should be able to sign off the information. Unfortunately, that has not happened, and I think that is a problem that we've been having for a while. So those are some of the major weaknesses that we have in the system. The matter was discussed with the audit committee. They gave us a direction in terms of how should we deal with those weaknesses. But at the heart of the weaknesses is about the fact that you don't have a scenario where DDGs were signing off on the performance before it's finally captured. So maybe in the interest of time is a matter that we need to reflect on, but the audit committee, I think when the chair comes in, she will be able to talk to those weaknesses in terms of how then we move forward. Because they were disowning the information, the DDGs, which was reflecting 26%, my view was that, can I have a reflection of what you are saying as DDGs? Because this is what has been submitted in the system. You are disowning the report. What then do we do? They then went back, and when, because their view was that there's a lot of work that has been achieved, and then they then went back and then provided the information to Chief Director and Strategic Planning Monitoring, but also to reflect Honorable Chairperson, the report that we are presenting excludes everything that has to do with the broadcasting policy. So we had to exclude everything. I don't know if I'm making sense, because that whole work minister has been transferred to the Department of Communication. So we could not continue accounting on it. But overall, the performance of the department is not where it's supposed to be. There are definitely serious challenges with the performance of the department. I think I'm taken aback by the performance, because I thought that at least by now there should be at least considerable movement. I can attest that there are a number of individuals who are definitely trying their best to work, but we just don't seem to be getting the machine to move at the pace that it's supposed to be moving at. And I think this is a matter that we discussed with the audit, the chairperson of the audit committee, and also the chairperson of the risk committee, where we're also reflecting on if we have the risk management matrix, but then we still have got this reflection. What does it say about our risk management processes? It means that those things are not robust enough. But I think that when they come in, they'll be able to talk about some of those weaknesses that they've observed. But just to report that when the information was captured on the system, it was reflecting around the 26%, of which a number of DDGs were disowning. And then I then said to them, give me what you can own up as DDGs. And then the final report that came back was the 46% percentage, which in my view, it is still very low, because when you are achieving 46% at the third quarter, it means that year end you are already below what your borderline. Now, just to summarize the key achievement, the significant achievement on the next slide deals with the ICT policy review. The draft white paper on the national integrated policy was developed and gazetted. The slide shows December 2014. When we're finalizing it, because one was obsessed about the fact that we are reporting end of December, it looked correct, but I recall that when we were appearing before the committee last year, we did actually, it was at the time when we were finalizing the ICT policy review, it was November. I think this morning I actually asked people to just to double check this date so that they can give me a gazette. And the actual date of the gazette is actually 14 November 2014. So I just want to apologize for that date. Now, the second issue is that a feasibility study was conducted on the wholesale open access network, which is being covered under the broader ICT market structure. Three research reports, including recommendation and options related to the ICT SOCs, were implemented. Just to move forward, now, just to summarize again the significant achievement with regards to the department, the BRICS position paper was developed and presented to the six BRICS summits, which subsequently adopted it. And over and above that, the department participated in the annual session of the Council of Administration in Bern in November and chaired Committee 3 on the strategy and took part in key debates and lobbying amongst developing countries on the dot post. Just to summarize the achievement, I'll just focus on areas where we've not been able to achieve. The first one is about the internal controls framework implemented, monitored, and progress report. This target is delayed, and some of the areas that are contributing is our delay in the appointment of the CFO. We did go through a process, but when we were about to finalize it, unfortunately, the person that we finally wanted to appoint was already appointed at a place where he was working, so we are now restarting the process again. And again, we suffered a blow with the resignation of our director, SCM, and also two deputy directors in the same environment. So in this current year, there were a number of challenges with regard to the supply chain management. Just to summarize key international affairs, I would just do one achievement but focusing on the non-achievement. South Africa successfully logged a position on the Regional Integrated Broadband Infrastructure Network at the SADC ICT Ministers meeting in November 2014. And on the delay part is the department, even though we participated in the United Nations Economic Commission for Africa on access to broadband in Africa, which was successfully lobbied, but key decisions will then be incorporated into the AUCIT agenda for approval by the ministers. But this was because the AUCIT ministerial conference was then postponed. Now, focusing on another area that has been delayed is with regard to the roundtable discussion on the World Postal Strategy facilitated. The World Postal Strategy high-level roundtable has been postponed indefinitely. Moving on to the next slide, that deals with conclusion on the bilateral agreements MOUs with countries of the South facilitated, which was delayed, and the reason is the challenge to secure follow-up meetings with counter countries in order to cement the gains made. Moving on to the next slide is about the donor coordination guidelines approved by the department. No progress. What we are then proposing moving forward is we will integrate the issues of the donor in the ICT policy review. Moving on to the next branch, the ICT policy research and capacity development. Just to note, Honorable Chairperson and members, this branch or this program, it houses two branches, that is the ICT policy branch and the information society branch. The first area that has been delayed is the revised national address system concept was approved by the social cluster, but however has not been gazetted. The second delay is the ICT BE Council established and operational. We did go through a call for nomination, however there were few nominations received. Moving on to the next area that has been delayed is the national e-strategy in terms of gazetting. Additional capacity is required in terms of data collection and analysis. These are the essence of the delay with regard to the e-strategy. But also there were delays with the policy direction on the pricing transparency. And here the delay was caused by we were waiting for ICASA to respond. But unfortunately to date we still don't have any response on that. The next area of delay is the study on national roaming. Here the delay was with regard to the appointment of a service provider, and then also the benchmark study conducted on mobile data pricing. Delay was awaiting for the council and the CASA to approve the final report on the mobile data pricing. The next issue is the ICT research program developed and implemented focusing on economic growth and global competitiveness. This was also delayed. Engagement with external research and academics took longer than expected. Moving on to the next program, I just want to move on to the ICT infrastructure. Um, Now, with regard to the, maybe let me start with the ICT Enterprise Development branch. We had planned to undertake a strategic alignment between ourselves and the entity by the end of the third quarter. Because we're going through a process where we're reflecting on our new mandate as a department, we then our view was that let the first strategic planning be just us as a department. We would then invite entities once we at least have reflected on how we would then be unpacking our mandate. While we were not able to engage the entities at the end of the third quarter, we were only able to engage them now in the fourth quarter. And then moving on to the next slide, development of the 2015-16 shareholder contract, no progress. Reason is the support challenges held back the finalization of the 2014-15 shareholder contract. On the corporatization of the post-bank facilitated, delayed also. The target is delayed due to the delay in the finalization of the reaching of the names. Moving on to the ICT infrastructure branch, the first one is the delay and rapid deployment policy inclusive of the stakeholder input delayed, and the delay was also caused by the appointment of the service provider. Moving on to the next three targets, which is the viable wholesale open access network, it was delayed. The system integrated into the refurbishment of the building and commission, this is about the cyber security hub, and also the digital future strategy implemented focusing on defining the roadmap, all of them were also delayed. The next one also were all delayed, and I think Honorable Chairperson, I spoke about the extensive delay or non-achievement of a number of targets that have to deal with the ICT infrastructure, which are also on the next slide. In the interest of time, Honorable Chairperson, I'd like to hand over to Sam just to summarize the numbers.
Thanks, DG. Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, I'll only talk to one slide which summarizes the financial position of the department as at 31st of December 2014. The department was allocated a budget of 2.2 billion, and as at December 2014, we were sitting at 1.1 billion, which represents 51%. Honorable Chairperson, you'll notice that the bulk of our budget, is made up of transfers and subsidies to the entities. That's about 76%, and the rest of the money is spread across all the five programs. As the committee can see, the administration was allocated 230, and we were sitting at 67%. Administration mainly would be driving corporate services. International affairs, we were sitting at 42%, and policy, we were sitting at 53%. The program which was leading was ICT Enterprise Development and SOC Oversight, mainly because of the transfers that had to be sent to the entities. And once again, I think it's important to mention to the committee that based on the rules that were established around reconfiguration, the transfers that were meant for the SABC, CASA and the rest are still being affected by the department until 31st of March this year. Infrastructure support, which is also housing quite a significant budget of 1 billion, constituting mainly transfers for sitting at 34%, and on average the total figure was about 51%. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Shal. I did not see, DG, any slides that speaks to the audit issues. I'm not so sure how you intend to deal with it. Shall I give to the chairperson of the audit committee?
Honorable Chairperson, because my understanding, the chairperson had extended invitation to the chair of the audit committee. My interpretation and in our engagement, he said that he would engage the committee on his views. So I think we didn't want to influence his report to include it in the department.
Over to you, Mr. Huma. I think I made a mistake that I normally do not. I should have asked the colleagues who are coming from the department to introduce themselves so that by the time we do responses, we are, now I'm calling Mr. Huma, everybody might be who wondering how do I know, because I've got a delegation list, that's why I know the names. Maybe let's just do that from the department. We understand who's here.
Honorable Chairperson, I'm Ruth Sakis, the DG, Department of Telecommunication Postal Services. Thank you, members.
Thanks. Honorable Chair, my name is Nico Ngomeni, DDG Infrastructure Support.
Honorable Chair, my name is Colin Wetton. I'm the Chair of the RUS Committee of the Department of Telecommunication and Postal Services.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. My name is Mamison Pashele. I am the acting DDG for the ICET Research Branch.
Good morning, Chairperson and Members. I am Temba Pierre, DDG for ICT Policy and Strategy.
Good morning, Chair, Honorable Members. My name is Sam Vilaga, the DDG Administration in the Department.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I am Kirsty Pillay, the Chief Director, Human Resources in the Department.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Members. My name is Nonkabela Jordan. I'm the Chief Director of Africa and Acting DDG International.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Members. My name is Sibongile Makopi. I'm the DDG SOC Oversight. Thank you.
From the Department,
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Members. My name is Grace Mugwane, Chief Director, Internal Audit.
Morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. My name is Willy Huma. I'm the Chairperson of the Audit Committee of the Department. Chairperson, I had expected the Department to talk about the audit issues, and I would talk about my oversight role together with my committee on the issues that are pertinent to the Auditor General's management report. Now I find it the other way around. I'm going to speak about the department's management report and who is now going to talk about the oversight part of it. But be that as it may be, Chairperson, I'll briefly highlight what the challenges have been in the previous financial year. The AG raised about 33 findings in their management report, and out of the 33 findings, 26 have been resolved to date. Resolved meaning they've been verified by internal audit as having been resolved. That constitutes about 79% out of 100%. The issues that have not been resolved are about 7, which is about 21%. There is substantial progress towards resolving many of the issues. But the challenge is when the AG audits, they use a sample on a particular focus area for that particular financial year. This does not guarantee that other issues and other findings in other areas may emerge. So it becomes very important that we address the risks within the department's strategic plan and operational plan. And also very important is to improve the control environment within the department. And to this end, the department is in the process of finalizing an internal control framework. We have looked at the draft, and we as the audit committee and the risk committee, we are providing our inputs to ensure that it covers a wider spectrum of the department's activities. But on the other hand, Chairperson, as the DG and the Minister has indicated, we are also concerned in our oversight responsibility with regards to performance overall of the department. We have noted, the AG and the Minister and the Accounting Office have noted, that the department's performance is declining, and we've made a very in-depth analysis of the performance of the department over a four-year period, quarter on quarter, and the over conclusion is that we need to do something very drastic. And as an oversight committee, we had a discussion with management and with the DG as well, separately, and we have indicated steps that the department needs to put in place as a matter of extreme urgency. Among those is that the management is not adhering to the performance information policy and the standard operating procedures, and we have asked that they be revised and be workshopped with senior management and they be implemented. We require adherence to the policy and standard operating procedures. And if there's no adherence or compliance, then consequence management must ensue. And we've made it very clear to the DG that we will be monitoring consequence management with regard to performance. So we expect that in the first quarter of the next financial year, we will get a full implementation of the consequence management relating to performance information. The other area of concern for us is the lack of performance monitoring in the branches themselves. We have since recommended that there should be monthly monitoring of performance by the branch heads. And those reports must be discussed at branch level and be submitted to the accounting officer. The monthly monitoring will slightly be different from the quarterly monitoring. In this case, we will be monitoring the achievement of milestones, which contributes to the achievement of the quarterly targets. In other words, we've asked SPM, which is the Strategy and Monitoring Unit of the Department, to break down the quarterly targets into monthly milestones so as to assist the branch heads and their teams to be able to monitor and have better control and management of the targets on a monthly basis and report in that particular fashion. It's a new intervention, and we have asked them to really support the team in introducing this intervention. One of the other areas that also worries us is we want to see better accountability and responsibility for the operational plan and the APP. In other words, people must be accountable and must be responsible for what has been assigned to them. There must be proper accountability. But then, Chairperson, we also recognize that there could be other challenges within the department in terms of what we discussed as the soft issues. The soft issues, as much as we're introducing new interventions to try and improve the overall performance of the departments, we have discussed with the DG that we also recognize that we need to address the soft issues within the department. And in this regard, we have recommended to the DG that she considers looking at the organizational change program, which would address issues of performance culture, accountability, teamwork, making sure that we work as a cohesive department that takes full accountability and responsibility for our overall performance. And the DG has agreed, and we will be monitoring on a quarterly basis this organizational culture program, a culture change program, which really should bring the leadership to be cohesive, work together, and deliver on their mandate. So overall, Chairperson, this is our report to the committee in a nutshell. Unless the committee wants to ask specific probing questions, we're more than ready to respond.
Thank you very much, Mr. Huma. Mr. Wapun.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Chair, just not to keep the committee long, there is a pertinent question that we need to ask, and the question is the risk management systems of the Department of Telecommunication and Postal Services robust enough? And to answer clearly, Chairperson, there's two reports. The one report is actually focused on the key strategic risks of the department. The second part is then the strategic risk register together with all the root causes that we have been unpacked and all the mitigation that we've put in place, signed as of 31st March 2014. Now, Chairperson, it can never be said that on a strategic and key risk overview that there was not extensive work done timelessly. Of course, the 2015-2016 then kicked in as the first of at the 1st of April. But what we can say is that yes, there is extensive work that was done from on the part of the key strategic risk register focus as well as the strategic risk outline. This exercise was undertaken by the risk committee together with the audit committee, and the result is the signed risk register that you see. But what we are concerned of as an audit committee and as a risk management committee, and being saying that as an audit committee, I'm also a member of the audit committee, Honorable Chairperson, is that there is an extensive delay by branch owners, which are the risk owners, to roll out their branch operational risks timelessly. That has a negative impact on the fact that the internal audit cannot do a risk-based audit program timelessly, and that also impacts on us, on the department monitoring its risk exposure. Now, Chairperson, what we have done as a because I have approached the audit committee as the chairperson of risk, we have then decided that we are going to undertake, together with the department, the 2015-2016 risk identification process as well as the risk rating process. That process, Chairperson, is the process where the audit committee and risk management committee usually stops. The next step is for the department's executives, which are the branch owners, to roll out their operational risk registers according to their respective branches, and that's where we have a major problem. And it might speak to the tone at the top, because there is usually a delay. Either the risk owners are not available, which are the DDGs, or they don't correlate, or they don't know there's sufficient representation to then focus on the operational risk registers. But if you look at our key strategic risk register for a mandate which was unchanged as of the 31st of March 2014, which speak to the 2014-2015 financial year, indeed it was an extensive exercise. But I can assure the committee chair, the Honorable Chairperson, that there was extensive delays in operationalizing the different key strategic risks that we have unpacked, and hence we have undertaken as a risk management committee to engage the DG. And in some instances, there's an extremely poor attendance by branch owners at risk committees. But what we have done to circumvent this problem was to create a risk champion approach, whereby they would then stand in and then they would assure that there is quorum. And that quorum has been well managed, and we have had our respective risk meetings. The second problem that we had was the fact that we could not exercise extensive monitoring over a mandate which was transferred, because when a mandate is transferred, the risk and the mandate is transferred to the assistant department. And in closing, Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson, we have come up with an approach where the audit committee, together with the risk management committee, will engage the director general so that we can find an amicable solution, so that we cannot have an unacceptable delay of rolling out the operational risk register of the respective branches. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much from the team. Well, members, we are going to take all the presentation and then take comments later, because there might be overarching issues that comes up. Shall I take the presentation from USASA?
Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity granted to us, to your honourable self, as well as the honourable members, to the minister and the deputy minister present. As we're setting up for the presentation. I'm not alone, Honorable Chair. I will ask the chairperson of the audit committee to introduce himself, as well as the CEO to introduce the team. But I'm also accompanied by the company secretary this morning to this meeting. Sir, introduce yourself.
Honorable Chair, the name is Linda Nene. I'm responsible for the Audit and Risk Committee of USASA and USASA.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Amingo Se. I'm the CEO of USASA.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Kukin Leki. I'm the Company Secretary of USASA. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Marsha Samuza. I'm the executive for USASA operations. Chair, I'm going to go through the entire document, inclusive of audit and such matters. However, the CEO, the chair, and the chairperson of the Audit and Risk Committee will respond in detail to the questions in the interest of time. Thank you. If I may start with USASA, which is the administrative arm of the USAS, the performance under the quarter under review reflects planned targets, 41 planned targets. And what we have up on the screen is a synopsis of our breakdown to individual units with respect to strategic, the performance on strategic targets. Now, immediately you'll start to see we have a lag in your HR area, especially, and followed by finance and stakeholder engagement. And for those who indicate where the issues and the problems are. But if we were to look at a little bit of the detail, from the corporate governance perspective, the deficit there was really in part related to the sitting of the Social and Ethics Committee. And to date, we can confirm that that has been resolved. That was an oversight there. Regulated meetings are taking place within EXCO. Overall, we're expected to have 12 meetings. In fact, we have double because we have what we call mainstream EXCO meetings, as well as performance EXCO meetings, which are designed to monitor performance, strategic performance. Our plans have been completed and submitted well before the required timeline to the department, and monitoring and evaluation of organizational performance continues on a monthly and a quarterly basis. Where there's problems, we institute a bi-weekly. So every 2 weeks, we check those problem areas. With respect to interactions with Parliament, annual reports were tabled in the quarter under review. And then when we come to the audit, internal audit function, it's a fairly robust one, wherein SCM, for example, is measured on a, or is audited on a quarterly basis, precisely so that we can deal with problem areas within SCM. But the other part that has also come through and required our special attention, Chair, relates to HR, specifically in payroll, the leave provisioning, wherein an audit in the last financial year revealed that there was a challenge in the manner in which leave was being captured, and the resolution of the Audit and Risk Committee was that leave provisioning would be audited on a quarterly basis, just because of the financial impact it has on the organization. All financial statements are submitted to the Audit and Risk Committee, as well as to the board and to the National Treasury as required. Um, We have a new function that was previously not there, Chair, which is that of the risk function. Specifically, if the body employed to track and monitor risks, and they've done, they started to do it all the way into the projects themselves. So where you, each and every one of your projects that you deploy would have a specific project register. So we've moved it from just being a top 10 strategic risk, we've moved them into the divisions and into the units and as well as into the projects, and that has assisted greatly. And what happens here is that on a monthly basis, this individual sits with each unit, each division, and within each project team, and is able to then track and monitor whether risks are being dealt with adequately or at all. What has also happened with respect to risk chair is that it has filtered into performance contracts, especially of the executives and of the senior managers. So it is a clear performance area that must be attended to, phase in which it counts for a significant amount with respect to performance. On the communication side, with respect to stakeholder perceptions and support, there has been some achievement, although not as significant. A lot of it has been attributed to the delays in the project over quarter one and quarter two, and you'll see as we go it also reflected into the financials, and I'll explain that as well. But as you can imagine, communications and marketing, ideally it should be aligned to your project implementation, and so when there's a delay, it has a ricochet effect. On the finance side, I mentioned before, accurate and financial statements. Expenditure in line with the allocated budget. This was partially achieved because of some of those delays. And so this speaks a lot to USAF and has been impacted quite immensely by the BDM project, the delays in the BDM project. But we expect that to pick up and rectify itself as that particular project comes into play. But we've seen a marked improvement in the manner in which assets are logged, in the enforcement of compliance, as well as in the manner in which we spread our expenditure to previously disadvantaged suppliers. Excuse me. Jay, in the past 2 to 3 years, IT was a major problem area. Very much in line with what the Minister was indicating earlier, our IT infrastructure and our IT systems were found to be deficient. They featured quite strongly and quite prominently in the AG findings for about 2 years. And we had to first start with the policy frameworks, which the board processed, and what we're starting to see now is the results of that governance being put in place. So a lot of what was the backlog that was there has now been achieved, the full achievement, not only just for the quarter, but also cumulatively speaking with respect to IT. On the legal side, we've had a number of legal interactions. However, I think we, from a target perspective, we've achieved our intentions in that respect. There's training that needs, that we have found needed to happen, especially with respect to labor relations within management structures. There was a bit of dereliction of duties there, so in a manner of speaking, which we're taking care of in this financial year. So that training is currently undergoing, but it did miss its target for the quarter there. Now, when we get to the corporate services environment, this is where you start to see the problem. A number of strategic targets that were meant to be happening, leadership training programs, employee wellness, submission of performance assessments, and so on and so forth, were not achieved. Now, upon interrogation, you find that there's a lot of activity happening in the space, but it's not necessarily counting towards the strategic outputs that are required. And so what has been resolved to do was to place corporate services virtually under ICU, if I can put it like that, and start to direct the energy and the activity towards the production of strategic targets. I think you will see at the end of this quarter, Chair, that we will have made significant progress in that respect. For example, the leadership training has been formalized and has been commenced, as has the employee wellness and the employee relations survey, for example. What was not measured, Chair, is this target around disputes. There were no recorded disputes in the quarter under review, and so it was not measured. We do have an OD plan that takes its basis from the National Strategy on Universal Service and Access. There was a delay in this respect because of consultations, which we felt were very important to avoid negativity. These consultations, as we speak now, have been completed, and the structure has been approved by the board. We've also completed job profiles. So by the end of this quarter, we should see significant movement with respect to realigning the organization for performance. Just by way of a synopsis, Chair, what we have there is a pictorial representation of specifically Q3 performance. It's performing at 71%. The significance here is that it is below what the board requires in policy from a nominal performance threshold. And by that I mean the board has noted 80% as a minimal performance threshold. And so everybody is very clear in the organization that there is no bonus consideration if this picture does not improve. If we were to look at USASA from a cumulative perspective, i.e. a year to date, it is sitting at 86%. So it's been helped significantly by the catch-up by other divisions, but that does not take away from the areas of concern that we need to deal with. From a financial perspective, we're relatively on track. We do have what looks like an overspending. However, it is a depreciation, and therefore it's a non-cash item. So technically, it's not glaring. Now, if you look at the prior quarters, the reports on the prior quarters, for example, in Q1, there was a significant amount of overexpenditure, which has now balanced out. It was as a result of some of the activity that was happening on the ground at that time. Now, if I may move on to USAF, Chair. Under USAF, we principally have three targets that are related to three major projects. And here I mean BDM, I mean broadband, and I mean schools connectivity. Now, if we look at the broadband sites, these are the broadband sites for Rato local municipality in the northwest, as well as Jo Morolong in the Northern Cape. All the targets had been delayed in this respect over Q1 and Q2 due to administrative processes. However, they have been caught up. As we speak now, the team is out in the field verifying what the appointed operator has reported, with a view to close this particular project. Then we have the second project, which is the schools connectivity. The funding allocation afforded us 10 schools from the mainstream, as well as 5 schools for persons with disabilities. These schools, because of the manner in which we have set up our panels, we were able to connect these schools in 3 weeks. And what is also important to note, Chair, is that within the broadband, the two broadband sites, because of the way we have modeled the project, we are expecting that not only the network will be upgraded, but we're expecting at least 15 to 20 more schools to come out of the connectivity to 20 odd schools, as well as about 12 clinics in each site. So once that is achieved, that will also add, in fact, it will be an excessive achievement in that respect. The third aspect, Chair, is the broadcasting digital migration. We all know the delays that have encumbered this particular project. But with respect to the target, which is the subsidization of boxes, that target was not achieved. However, in the quarter under review, the qualifying criteria was developed and was gazetted. comments were quite vociferous, including doi-doi outside our offices, and engagement at a provincial level had taken place. We were also we also entered into a procurement process, or initiated a procurement process, which closed in this current quarter, in the beginning of the year, and is currently under review, undergoing its own processes. So we hope to get that finalized within this financial year. And so if we look at an overview or pictorial view of performance of USAF, excluding VDM, there's a 100% achievement. The picture changes, Chair, when you include BDM, where you start to see it's not quite 100%, and that's because of the BDM project, principally. The financial reflects...
I'm fast to very slow in my time. Are you almost done?
Yes, Chair. Perhaps if I may just give a summary of the Auditor General findings that had come through. A lot of them were resolved, Chair, but they relate to an incorrect classification of expenditure and depreciation, non-disclosure of fruitful and wasteful expenditure, an over-provision of workmen's compensation, and again that references the leave provisional process, as well as supporting information to journalism. This is about the completeness of financial information. Those were dealt with and resolved with the DG, with the AG, sorry. There was also an issue around the condonation. This is around an amount of about 6,000 Rand, which related, which was, comes from 2 years ago, and was relating to SCM making calls over the phone. We've dealt that with that quite decisively and in fact amended the policy. The leave management was raised as an issue, compliance to SCM policies, specifically in this respect to deviations, the correct recording of deviations, which we have also dealt with, and the inconsistency between bid specification and bid evaluation committee, which we were adamant that we wanted to keep separate. It also relates to the overstatement of actual performance, which reflected back to compliance with the regulatory provisions of performance information. We have dealt that through policy as well as through staffing, and that did not that stopped being an issue quite significantly. And then, of course, the non-alignment of planned between planned and reported targets, which we also resolved with the assistance of the AG. The IT issues are highlighted there, which I spoke to earlier, and that would help us achieve a clean audit, especially with respect to USAF. The Bid Audit and Risk Committee instituted a number of action plans, Chair, to deal with the absence of proper performance, the lack of reporting on key matters, including finance and the integration of that, detailed compliance and risk registers, ineffective contract management, the absence of the ERP, the absence of documented processes, mismatching of skills, inadequate attendance. All of these are being dealt with in different ways, some of them in policy, but also some of them in the organizational development project, which will be activated or actioned in detail at the beginning of the new financial year. The matter of integration of finance into projects has also been dealt with, and it was also a case of developing the frameworks and the policies and the processes that would then dictate how we interact with projects and so on and so forth. What we have here is the mitigating action plans. The BARC required that a risk management committee be installed. However, they also insisted on a body to monitor risks, and that has helped significantly. Using internal audit, the internal audit is now positioned more as a value add to the organization as opposed to policing, which has significantly changed the culture of interaction with the internal audit function. And so they are more consulted on to clarify matters. But what the Audit and Risk Committee has also instituted was a role of combined assurance which has three levels of quality assurance: legal, projects, as well as audit. And it is chaired by the CEO. And what this vice chair says is essentially what I've just said to you in a little bit more detail. But that brings us to the close, Chair. Thank you.
Chairperson of Audit and Risk.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I think the executive has covered mainly what was going to be shared with the committee. Save for, I think the committee needs to be aware of the risks that are highlighted on the slide before last, which is the landscape, which could actually affect the performance of the organization if they are not dealt with. Especially the risk number 5, which is the ERP system, which has been a risk that has been sitting on the agency and user for a long time. Chair, when we took over the responsibilities, which was about 2 years ago, we were qualified. So this has been a significant stride and movement from qualified to being unqualified and having one of the entities to be clean. So our target for the next financial year is to have obviously both entities clean audit, not unqualified, because we're looking at clean administration, so that then it, as a consequence, it becomes clean audits in perpetuity. Chair, we have instituted a number of interventions as highlighted by the executive, and the last slide speaks to the 8-point plan -1, which basically covers everything that we actually are seeking assurance on. All the Auditor General's findings, which have been closed by management, have been verified by internal audit. So we don't just close findings. There is an assurance which is given by internal audit. The risk assessments have been performed consistently over the quarters. The top key risks that are facing the both entities, as well as the operational risk and the divisional risk, which are also submitted to the Board Audit and Risk Committee on a quarterly basis. We have a very sharp eye on the non-compliances that are happening in the organization. And to that effect, management has to submit a non-compliance register on a quarterly basis covering both entities. And we monitor the consequence management after those issues have been raised, as well as obviously the weaknesses that have been identified. Chair, I think with those few words, we are able to obviously see that there's some progress. It's a very large ship, so it might take quite a bit of time to turn around, but there's progress. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, team of you. So, shall I get .za DNA? I'm just going to move a bit as a marathon. So that I need to have enough time for engagement. Quite a number of issues that we're already picking up, but we just need to verify. Colleagues do remember that they presented their annual plans to the committee, because I see some issues that clashes with what was presented to us, the presentations that we received as Parliament. Shall we get the team to introduce while we get the presentation?
Good morning, Honourable Chair and members of the committee and to the Minister. I am Vivian Desani, the CEO of the Dominion Authority. Just trying to get through the machine here to connect it to the... Okay. Peter Matabu, our stakeholder relations person. Okay.
Thank you, Chair, and honorable members. My name is Peter Matabu from ZEMA. Thank you.
I'd ask the committee secretary to send an email to alert you of the time you have for presentation. I think what you need to do is note that members receive these documents, have read them. So you're taking us through what is most critical.
Thank you, Chair. We didn't prepare a really PowerPoint presentation, and we thought it would be better to take the committee through the actual report that we sent. It's a straightforward report. I may need first to clarify and explain, Chairperson, that we don't have our audit chair with us. We tried to communicate that to the chairperson, the reason why, and the main reason simply being that the issues that the Auditor General raised do not necessarily apply to ZEDNA. The Dozeri Dominium Authority is a sort of a hybrid entity that reports to the minister and has the minister having oversight over it, but there are a number of corporate governance processes of ZEDNA that by virtue of the ECT Act makes ZEDNA not to be an entity that is subject to the Public Finance Management Act. And likewise as well, that makes ZEDNA not necessary to be required to submit its statements to the Auditor General. I don't know, I may be confusing it, but there was a time last year where the Auditor General was in this committee. I don't know, maybe it was in the Parliament before the elections where they clarified again the same point. So the issues that were raised did not necessarily apply to ZEDNA, and as such we did not have our audit chair come with us.
But you have an audit chair in the entity.
Yes, we have, due to our size, we have the Finance Committee currently serving also the Audit Committee. So the Treasurer or the Chair of the Finance Committee serves as the Audit Chair.
That's the person we're looking for.
Yes, and then that's the person saying because of this, the fact that the issues raised by the Auditor General do not necessarily cover ZEDNA.
We have issues. Okay. Let's take it, we'll sort it out later. But I think maybe there was a miscommunication because we've asked for all of them. It's not basically the issues, only the issues from the AG, but the issues based on our interaction that we needed resolved. That's why we've asked them here.
Okay.
And with the experience of having interacted, for example, I can make an example of post office. When we interacted with post office minister, we picked up that the audit and risk was not meeting quorum throughout a financial year. Yet the board was meeting 4 times a month. So those are some of the things that we pick up as we do assessment. And that's why we want to engage directly with the individuals who are given this responsibility on some of the issues that we want them to look for as well. But over to you, I think we'll do this.
Thank you, Chair. Apologies then for that misunderstanding. I think, at least as you said earlier on, that we spoke to the annual statements and reports that will allow us as well to attend to any issues the committee may have with regard to us. In terms of the report that we circulated to the committee, we have a table there which maps out our 4 strategic objectives for the year. And in terms of the table, we sent out a report. We've recorded on all these objectives to say what was achieved and what was not achieved. If I may just get an index as quickly, Jefferson, I'm terribly struggling with eyesight. I can't see what I've put on the screen there, but it's not on my screen yet. Oh, yes. Thank you. So my eyesight is terrible. I normally refuse to wear glasses, but I should be wearing glasses.
On page 7 of the report, we had. On page 7 of the report, we have the first strategic objective there was to revise the charters, which are the funding documents for the second level's domain, AC.ZA, A2.ZA, and so forth. That particular target was not achieved. We worked on what we call a general policy, which is an all-encompassing policy for the .ZNM space. We had not worked on it in the past. And as much as our board and ourselves, we set to achieve a number of things linked to this policy. I think we had substantially underestimated the extent and the reach of this policy, that it eventually affected a number of areas where the board subsequently said, don't work on these other areas. First, finalize the policy because it will influence the rest of the staff. So that's the reason why we are on page 7. They're saying that the charters were put on hold until the policy is finalized. On page 8, we talk about the implementation of the policy itself, where although there was no target in quarter 3, we had hoped by this time that there would have been significant progress towards implementing the policy, and the target, that work is again meant that we were not able to achieve the, though there was no target set for quarter 3, but it influences what will follow in quarter 4, which was the actual implementation, but there were delays in finalizing it. And on the same page, we talk about the .cities policy framework, where again we continued the work, and even though there was no target set, but the targets there were well achieved, the launch of .cape town, .joburg, and .durban. On the following page, page 10, we talk about the development of a national domain name strategy, which again was, we did not achieve. It was linked, unfortunately, to conversations with the department and what the department will prioritize. And based on the feedback at the time we received, we submitted what would have been submitted to the domain name strategy. We submitted it to the ICT policy review of the minister. And on the next page, on the enhancing the regulatory mandate, the work was submitting the proposals for the ICT Act amendments to the department. The target was always dependent on the timelines that you get from the department on when the ICT Act amendment process will be restarted. And in this year, as far as we are aware, the process has not moved forward. So whatever we had there, we are holding on to submitting to the department at the time once they start the amendment of the ICT Act. It was important for us that the Act is amended because there are certain areas that constrain ZEDNA in its regulation of these registries and registrars that it is supposed to regulate. We have the ADR as well, extension of the ADR regulation, where we had said to submit to the minister a request to have the ADR regulations extended to cover NetZA and WebZA and OpZA. And that target, from our side, we submitted the request, and we know that by quarter 3, the minister had already released for public comment the proposed extension. And on 2-3, there is the regulations themselves, the review of the ADR, the Alternative Dispute Resolution Regulations. The target, we wanted, by the time we're hoping that working with the department, we could be in a process where we would start public consultation. But in conversations with the department's officials, it became clear that the work of amending the ADR regulations would better be pushed to this year, so we did not achieve that particular target. On page 13, we have the improvement of access and quality to registration data, where we as a matter of standard are collecting data of all the domain names in different second level domains, and we are putting it in what you call a shared registry system so that people can be able to register names in an automated way. We achieved that target there for A2.ZA and others. We also achieved it for NetZA and WebZA, which for NetZA and WebZA, we achieved the target beforehand because we wanted to transfer it to the ZA Central Registry. We also wanted to release quarterly statistics for the domain names. We achieved that for the four second-level domains, CO.ZA, OGZA, and WebZA, especially using the ZEDNA website. and we are carrying on the work on the other small African levels like WZA and so forth to have the statistics published. Based on the statistics, we recently announced as well that a number of WZA domain names have exceeded 1 million. I think the last time I checked, it was last week, there was 1,004,000 something, which shows the growth of the namespace. We had said to release an annual research report, and as much as we had said to appoint a service provider to carry out the report for us, we did not achieve that target. We have the document already, but it was waiting the approval of MENCO. I must say, as well as the fourth quarter, that the decision of the board based on the new business model that we'll present when we present our performance plan in the near future. There was a feeling that that research be held to look at other areas so that will inform the new business model that we want to pursue. We had then the implementation of namespace-wide operational standards as well. Those were put on hold because of the general policy. The feeling was that first finalize the underlying principles before you set over operational standards for the second level domains. The drafting, the internal drafting of the standards and stuff was finalized and it is ready. I'm not going to go through all of them. I'll probably just skip and highlight the key ones. On page 17, we wanted to deploy DNSSEC, which is a security, internet security measure for the domain names, to ensure that there's trust and that you are protected against phishing. When you query a website, you are not given a fake website as a response, but you have assurance through some form of certificate indicated on your browser. The target was not achieved because of the work that we've been doing on NetZA and WebZA, relaunching them. The plans internally are ready, and we're just waiting now for the signing of .za, the zone file, which should happen in the next month or so. Again, 5.2 was affected by 5.1 in case that we delayed the deployment of the NSSEC and the register awareness did not begin accordingly. On education and awareness, on the next page, we achieved the target where we, based on our budget, we had wanted to appoint a service provider and then start working on the campaign and provide reports, which we did. So that target was achieved. In fact, we decided also to, instead of having an external service provider, but to have an in-house resource to help us there. We had set on 6.2 to engage key stakeholders regarding internet policy issues, so as far as they relate to domain names, and send recommendations to the minister as the act requires. But because of the ICT policy review process, the work that we did there was fed into the ICT policy, into the panel. There was a project of implementing a one-stop shop advisory center, which has been put on hold as well. The board has requested that we do more further feasibility analysis of the project because it would cause Zedna to incur additional costs. On number 7, the rollout of my marketing campaign for the Durban, Joburg, and Cape Town. We achieved those targets there because the three top-level domains were launched and we started working with the operator, the ZA Central Registry, the ZACR, to launch those dot cities. The marketing campaign again started as well and was focused really on the registrars, and then it was based online primarily. On number 8 on the next page, we had the capacity building target there. We did not achieve the target in time. We wanted to start the project with the ZA Central Registry to build technical skills for especially people, I mean the youth in IT and universities on the domain name system. We wanted to work with the ZA Central Registry, who then decided that they needed to get SACA approved qualification and make this a year-long internship. So we did not have the project roll out by quarter 3, but it has since begun this year, where a group, I think, of 16 students are on an internship on the domain name system, the technical skills and the business skills. And the internship is running for the whole year. And at the end of the year, they'll get a SACA approved, my ICT CETA approved certification as well. And the DNS capacity building on 8.2 as well was combined with the ZA Central Registry. What we did not achieve was the domain name industry in the intellectual property training, the work with the lawyers on the trademark issues involved in domain names, and that has been shared to be carried out in the next year. And then we had on the next page the government's what we call the RNL reserved name list process for the new dot cities, the dot Cape Town, Durban and Joburg, where government was required to have a list of names that they want protected and submitted. We had one targeted that by quarter three we will be started having 12 government redeeming those names, which means registering those names and assigning them to proper entities. So that process did not start in quarter three. But importantly though, we did work with government departments. We had two workshops last year to explain to them the reserve name list. There was proposed list that Zedna circulated to different government departments, and those lists were used to reserve the names that we then felt that were of interest to the country to be reserved so that they are not used by private individuals. 9.2 was the allocation of three dot cities reserve names. That was achieved. We're working with the three cities, Cape Town, Joburg, and Devon, and they've started registering the names. So they've started to run some websites that end with their city, the top names. 10 was a project that we put on hold that we're looking at carrying on this year. And then the 11 was the development of policy positions on internet governance. Again, that work was fed into the ICT policy review. And the engagement with stakeholders, we had set no target there as such, but we continued to meet several entities here to brief them on what we do and also the emerging internet governance issues. And then the last one was our participation in Internet Policy Forum and other bodies like ICANN and AFGLD, which we carried on to do. So that will be all, Chair. Just on the financial side, we continue to collect the domain name fees. You may probably see in the differences between actuals and budget that we said to collect 534, but you collect close to 600,000. That's because of the growth of the namespace as such. Importantly, there are one or two areas where we have underspent that is awareness that did not move as fast as we wanted it to, and then also on the staff salaries because of the delayed appointments of some staff, my additional staff, which only happened this term. That will be just my general comments to the financial side. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Shall we take Sita? Chairperson, shall I allow you to start doing the introduction and other colleagues who are here and maybe your remarks while they're connected?
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Honourable Minister and Deputy Minister. I am Jerry Vilagazi, Chairperson of the Board of CITA. I'm accompanied by colleagues from the Audit Committee and the Executive Team, and I will allow the colleagues to introduce themselves, starting with the Chair of the Audit Committee.
Thank you, Chair, Honourable Members, Minister and our Deputy Minister. My name is Zugi Lenomvete, and I'm the Chair of the Audit and Risk Committee of CITA. Thank you.
Honourable Chair, Honourable Minister and Deputy Minister, my name is Graham Victor and I'm a member of the Audit Committee.
Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Honourable Minister, Deputy Minister, my name is Dave Boucher, I'm the Acting Executive Internal Audit for CITA.
Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Honourable Minister and Deputy Minister of Telecommunications, colleagues, my name is Nokorita Nochozi. I'm the Head of Stakeholder Relations Management at CITA. That includes government. Thanks.
Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Honourable Minister and Deputy Minister, my name is Mashumi Nzaidume. I'm the Company Secretary at CITA.
Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Minister and Deputy Minister, and colleagues from other entities, my name is Freeman Nomvalo, the Chief Executive Officer of CITA. The presentation, Chair, I will deal with
good morning, Honourable
sorry, Honourable Chair, all protocols observed. My name is Jobo Mishesh, and I'm the Chief Financial Officer at CIPA.
Chair, I don't know if the chairperson of the audit committee or the chairperson of the board want to say any opening remarks before I present.
Yes, please do present.
Thank you.
My meeting colleagues. There's a coup here. let's not have a coup. Chairperson, CEO present, and then we'll allow the chairperson to come later.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Chair. I will try and make up for the time by dealing with the issues in the presentation quick. So the overview, Chair, just the overview is that as an organization, we are working with a strategy that seeks to address the challenges that CETA faces. The issues, the core issues of that strategy is that we want to make sure CETA is functioning well, CETA's got good governance, and the CETA operations are all operating well, align with the priorities from the Department of Telecommunications Postal Services, align to the National Development Plan Agenda and other policies of government. We seek to ensure that all of these things are done. We're not here to talk about the strategy itself, but we're here to talk about the progress on the work done up until the third quarter. In the third quarter, Chair, first at a high level, we have projects that we started and finished and completed in that time, which are about 43%, and we've got projects that we started that were pretty close to being finished, at least 70% completed, and most of those projects, Chair, are above 90% and will be completed in the last quarter. And those projects add up to about 32%, and therefore the 25% share has still not yet been achieved. But just to talk about each one of those line items, under the financial issues, Chair, in our balance scorecard, the issues that have not yet been achieved, we still have challenges in collecting our money from departments. The committee has, the Audit Appeals Committee has tasked us to introduce other measures to do so. We think that this picture will improve by the end of the year, but we may still have some outstanding matters there. The expenditure on CAPEX, which is very, very critical for CETA as an institution, still falls way behind schedule, and there is no way that one will be achieved in this financial year. But there are plans, and we're not here to talk about the future necessarily, but we're finalizing and ensuring that the plans to ensure that this picture doesn't repeat, that work is in place, and we're confident that will change. The biggest problem in this area, Honorable Chair, is largely, as if we just reduce it to one specific thing, you can just reduce it to poor planning, where the plans are not as detailed enough to allow a proper follow-up to be done. But like I say, the work to reverse that is well underway, and in fact some of the procurement processes have started to make sure that the expenditure picks up in the coming year. Those are the two key indicators there, Chair, that on the financial side that are a problem. On the customer side, there is a number of projects that we're doing for our customers, electronic content management, IFMS, e-government services, and so on. There's quite a number of those that we're doing there. At the end of the third quarter, some of these were still falling behind. The e e-government services that were targeted to be done will be done and be finished by the end of March. There's been quite a lot of progress in the last 2 months in that area. The IFMS will definitely have been recommended to the Treasury, and hopefully the Treasury will have awarded by the end of March, which will make us achieve the target that has been set for the financial year. The other piece then relates to the manner in which our customers experience the service from SITA, which is how are we performing in relation to the service level agreements. This target is partially achieved. It's sitting at around about 85%, and we're hoping to improve on that, but there are still challenges in some of the provinces in this area relating to staff issues and also some of our infrastructural problems. So it becomes important that we spend on our CAPEX so that we also improve in this area. And then the last piece here relates to us contracting with our the departments, which is our clients. And in this area, there has been significant improvement. Most of the contracts are already in place relating to the coming financial year and the current financial year. So we hope that this will never be a problem again in the future for SITA. On the internal processes, there's much more significant improvement that has been done there. Amongst other things, the things that we needed to deal with in the internal processes is to sort out our business processes, sort out our policies, sort out our frameworks. A lot of that work has been done. The board in the October, November, and January board meetings had a lot of documents to go through to approve, and they approved those documents, and therefore some of the issues relating to the internal processes are now about implementation as opposed to putting frameworks in place. But there are also, Chair, issues here that relate directly to the audit outcomes, and those issues relate to the working of our IT systems, the ERP, which has up until now not been functioning well. In the last meeting, when we here on the annual report in October, we reported that we've put the service provider to terms, and we have set out a very strict project to address those issues, especially those relating to the audit for the current financial year. And we are confident that the ERP system, as it relates to those issues that were raised by the Auditor General that impact on the audit, will have been resolved by the end of March. But it's still an issue that is falling behind. And then there are issues around learning and growth, which also result to some of the issues inside the organization and the capability maturity of the organization in some aspects. In this area, Chair, the work that will confirm whether we've achieved the target or not will only be done, the actual assessment will only be done at the end of March, covering all of the work up until the end of March. So we'll only get the report in April or May and then be able to include that in the annual report. So overall, the targets that were started and completed is 54, and the targets that were partially, which is above 70%, and like I said, all of them above 70% achieved is 40, and then the ones that were below that level of achievement is 32. Now, Chair, you will recall that in the before I move on to the issues relating to the audit outcomes, you'll recall that in the meeting that we had, it was identified that SITA has got quite a number of targets, 42 targets overall for the year, which basically dilutes the ability to focus effectively on certain key items that impact on the performance of the organization and the experience of our customers. That work was done, and the targets have been reduced from 40 to 14, but that reduction took the form of looking at how you can conceptualize some of these targets at a higher level and focus on the impact issues as opposed to just having a long list of items. We think that there are still opportunities to reduce those targets even further without compromising the focus of the organization on the strategic issues. As an example, Chair, if for instance CETA were to measure the availability of systems to government, that measure alone it forces CETA to ensure that its infrastructure is in place, forces CETA to ensure that its security is in place, forces CETA to ensure that its network works robustly, and so on. But it's one measure, and therefore it can help CETA to focus on small issues that, on a few issues that matter, and while ensuring that the organization is managed effectively across the board. And the report on the annual report will, in fact, use that that amended APP to report. The financial performance, we still think that we'll achieve our revenue target. We'll get very close to our revenue target of above 5 billion rands. We think that we will achieve our profit measures. The only thing that is worrying on the financial issues, obviously, is the fact that we are not spending enough on our CAPEX. And not spending enough on our CAPEX means that the organization continues to be in a precarious situation where some of the services may fall flat, even though there's a lot of effort that we put in. That influenced by the quality of our infrastructure. So it's not about the... For us, we want to make sure that when we say there's uptime of services, of systems of government, it's uptime of systems of government, but also the quality has to be an issue that that becomes important. So expenditure on our CAPEX is critical. The resolutions of the Auditor General, we had 55 items that were identified. The chairperson of the Audit Committee set us all down, worked out a plan to identify what are the root causes of these findings, what are the interventions that have to be put in place, who are the people that are going to do it, and how regular they should be reporting. And each time those are being resolved, like the other entities have reported, our internal audit verifies that all of those things have been done and addressed effectively before the audit committee can sign off on them. And where we sit now, 82% of these, 82% of these, audit findings have been addressed, which is 45 of the 55. The last 10 that have not yet been addressed, it's not because they are behind schedule, no. They are items that are due to be addressed in the month of March. So by the end of March, all of them will have been addressed. Like the chairperson of the audit committee of the department said, the interesting thing with audit is that it works with samples. While we've addressed these and put in place systems to make sure that systematically these issues are resolved, you may still find that when they pick up a sample, there are still items that escaped the net, but we are confident that we've put processes in place to ensure that as we move into the future, these are all addressed effectively. So I'm not gonna go through those specific items, Chair, in terms of what was done in this particular area because the presentation was sent to the committee. We will just take questions there. Safe to say that we thought we should perhaps just mention this, Chair, over and above the e-services that we have been doing. We were approached by the Treasury and the Minister of Finance mentioned this thing in his budget to help put together an e-tender portal. That work has been done. It's been tested. And it will become live on the 1st of April, the phase one of that project. The phase two and phase three of the project is about horizontal integration, which will create the capability for the government departments and all of the other entities that would use the portal to be able to check if people have got companies at DTI, they'll be able to check if people are employed in government and so on. So there'll be sufficient information that can be sourced to enable decision making around the procurement process and enhance the procurement process and the combat against fraud and corruption effectively. So in conclusion, Chair, while we have narrowed down the number of the indicators as discussed in the committee in October, we have not deviated from the strategic path and the strategic issues that the organization has got to face. We are committed to rebuilding this organization as an entity that works and works well, that respects the governance processes. We are rebuilding our procurement function. We had challenges. We're still having contract management issues, but a lot of the other indicators relating to procurement have been addressed and are working quite well. And we believe that with investment in our infrastructure and improvement in our security outlook, we will definitely be an ICT company of choice for government, not only just because the legislation says so. As a parting shot, we reported in our annual report that we had 1,127 employees that had been displaced. A number of them had been resolved by the end of the financial of the last financial year. Where we sit now, as at the end of December, only 16 employees were still left in the pool, and all of those employees will have been addressed by the end of the financial year. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and members, and my minister and my deputy minister. Just to emphasize that one of the things we did when we reconstituted the audit committee and we took over last year, September, was that we made an undertaking and that there would be no repeat findings. We do not want to see the repeat findings whatsoever, because this has been an endemic culture within the organization. Then the other issue which is of major concern is the measurement tool, because we keep on being told partially achieved, 50% achieved, or wholly achieved. We have engaged the internal audit in collaboration with our external auditors, so that we're in a position that there's a common general understanding what it is we mean when we say achieved and or partially achieved, that there's no wool being pulled over our faces, as it were. Indeed, as an audit committee, we are very much concerned, considering the aging infrastructure, that we have an inability to spend on our capital expenditure program. It's woefully inadequate, and it is an issue that we have prioritized and linked it to the corporate balance scorecard. And also a matter which has been of concern is that our ability to again spend very little when it comes to research and development, especially in the areas of cyber security. This is a matter that our committee in research development and the ICT, we ensure that it must take priority. And there has been mention of the ERP system. I'm told we are almost 70% partially there, as it were, because we have been unable to do almost the basic issues in terms of the Public Finance Management Act. One of the most important aspects is revenue protection. When we are unable to invoice and bill people, and at the same time to be able to collect monies due to us, we will be, in essence, failing. So that is receiving attention. And I think for the first time we're having an IT audit that's being done by the external auditor. We are hopefully that it will be completed, and it looks good. Hopefully it will be completed by the end of March. We are in the process of trying to fill in the position of the internal auditor and that of the chief financial officer, who our current chief financial officer will be leaving our employ. We have also, in the past, coming to the end of the quarter, have employed a chief procurement officer, so the legislation is amended. We have also employed a chief technology officer, which previously CETA did not have. And lastly, we have tried to introduce consequent management, because the ability of people that they think they can get away by purely explaining themselves away. We want to see something fundamentally happening. We will take questions, and I do thank you.
Thank you very much. Shall we get DBI? get the introductions while the presentation is being set up?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, Honorable Minister, Deputy Minister, Director General, colleagues. My name is Bulo Nkwele. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of Broadband Infraco. I am not on my own. I'll allow the delegation I'm with to introduce themselves. Thanks.
Good morning, all protocol observed. My name is Mita Maponya. I'm the Chair of the Audit Committee of Broadband Infraco.
Honorable Chair, Honorable Minister, Honorable Deputy Minister, and Honorable Members and colleagues, good morning. My name is Mike Mujapil. I'm the Head of Internal Audit at Broadband Infraco.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. We are going to do a presentation in reverse, in that we're going to start with the audit findings. And may I also apologize, we did not submit the compact, but I will take members through the compact. So I take, as Honorable Chair has said, that the presentation has been read. We had 28 findings to date. 71% of those have been resolved. 29% of the findings have not been resolved. So just to go with time, I'll just go through to the specific audit findings. There were fixed asset management findings, and this would be quite critical for us, considering that we've got 1.2 billion rands in our balance sheet for property, plant and equipment. We have put in place a rigorous process of reviewing our processes. As the Minister had alluded to, yes, we do manage our assets through Excel spreadsheet because we don't have an enterprise resource planning system. But we are confident that the audit findings that are there would have been resolved by the end of this financial year. Some were just misclassification in terms of how the policy was written, where it required every asset to have a barcode, whereas we use serial numbers that are on the asset to identify them. We had a compliance issue in terms of credit cards. By the end of December, we had not cancelled the credit cards. The key issue is that we have 13 regions outside of the office, and we needed an optimal way of ensuring that we do transfer minimal funds to those offices. As at February 23rd, we cancelled our regional credit cards. It does open up a control, internal control issue for us, because we transfer money to employees and have to reconcile all that afterwards. We're looking for an optimal way of doing it. We had a vetting issue again. I think it would be how we wrote our credit policy, where we wanted all of our customers to be vetted, including SOCs. So we're optimizing how we have done our policy and ensuring that we minimize our financial exposure. All the matters that were resolved, I will not go through. Okay, I'll just go through one about the CIDB, where there was a requirement for us to issue certificates, and the CIDB indicated to us that we are not a construction company. We're just waiting for formal correspondence. They just send us an email to that effect, so we are awaiting a formal letter from them. Issues pertaining to our supply chain management had to do with policy, and with our new policy that has been approved and socialized within the company, all the procurement issues were resolved. We have a finding with regards to a memorandum of incorporation, and our engagements with the department is that that's in progress. There are engagements between the shareholder. And the last one that's in progress is a performance management policy that is currently in review and would have to be submitted to the board and the board subcommittees. So all in all, of the 8 findings and the impact of non-resolution, the ones pertaining to policies, there's no adverse impact. The ones relating to governance, which is an unapproved memorandum of incorporation, it does impact our engagement with funders, and from an asset management point of view, we cannot afford not to resolve those, because those would then result in incorrect presentation of financials. I will go straight on to the shareholder compact. Our KPIs were few but very targeted. The first one, network performance, which is on track, relates to our ability to deliver services to our customers. From a cash reserves point of view, the previous executive authority felt important that we should at any point in time be having money within our accounts. I think we had money by the end of December. By the end of March going forward, we obviously would have challenges, but we are tracking the path. From an EBITDA point of view, our revenue line is on track. Our cost of sales line is not on track. We are addressing legacy issues from a cost of sales point of view, in that because of legacy, we have an unfavorable co-location agreement with the second network operator, as well as from an ESCOM point of view, a very high fiber maintenance contract that we are negotiating with them. We also have a last mile lease that is also not necessarily favorable to us. So to manage that, whilst we will not achieve this KPI by the end of the financial year, but we are putting stringent processes in place to minimize the risk, because when we go to the next KPIs in terms of the yellow one, the network access, there are 5 points of presence that we will have implemented by the end of this month, and that should aid us in reducing our exposure with the second network operator. And we're also optimizing our equipment inside of the second network operator site. So that should, in a way, we'll give them notice 1st of April. In terms of us assessing interoperability with other people, we had wanted to have a build-up lab by the end of this month. We don't have a build-up lab, but we have a makeshift build-up lab because we are we're setting up to conduct our tests in a container, just like we would have with our points of presence. So we would be ready to be doing tests with various network OEMs as of April of this year. From a economic transformation training, I think everything is on track. From a socio-economic transformation, we do have challenges with procurement from youth-owned entities, but we will definitely achieve our people with disabilities procurement. We've managed to source entities that are within the sector following through the normal tender processes. So from an economic transformation point of view, it is the procurement of youth-owned entities that is problematic. I will just hand over to the Chair of the Audit and Risk Committee to make a comment. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Senior. BBI has gone through a very challenging times in the past, and I believe currently we have gone through a lot in terms of achieving the governance levels that are currently there. What we have done in the past year is that to reduce what used to be repeat findings in the organization, we asked our internal audit, instead of keeping on auditing the same issues that they knew were there, to have a consultative impact and a consultative role, whereby we helped management in terms of improving from a governance point of view and improving in line with getting our processes, controls in line with the policies that were in place. And currently, we are happy with the level of work that has been achieved by management. The areas of a concern still remain in the management of our assets and in terms of from the roles in the finance department and the procurement area. These challenges stem from the fact that we have not been able to get ourselves a permanent CFO. We've been without a CFO for the past 2 years, and we've been reliant on using consultants. But then this was not due to us lack of trying. We've actually appointed a CFO who was due to start, but then when they were supposed to start, they did not pitch to work, and we are busy currently trying to resolve that. But then I believe, I know. Thank you. But then we commend management in terms of the good work that they have done recently, taking into account the challenging position that Broadband and Flaco finds itself at this point in time. Thank you.
Namisa?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Thank you, Honourable Members, Honourable Minister and Deputy Minister, the Director General and colleagues. My name is Moira Malakalaka. I am the acting CEO of NEMISA, of INE.
I keep on saying NEMISA.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I'm going to let my board chairperson introduce himself.
Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Honourable Minister and Deputy Minister, DG and our colleagues from the department. My name is Khaitsiwe Lenepa. I'm not the board chair. I'm the chair of the Audit and Risk Committee. Apologies for our chair, Dr. Maloka, who couldn't be here. She's a medical doctor, as you know, and she's still practicing, so she had patient issues to attend to urgent ones. And also apologies for our acting CFO. She had to attend to an urgent matter, Ms. Slute. Ms. Malakalaka has already indicated, she's our acting CEO, and she will make the presentation.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to go quickly and take information as read and just make a few highlights for the committee to note. The information that we're going to be looking at is the 14-15 APP, which was currently scaled down, and as the Chair always says, she always makes a mistake of saying NEMISA. It's because we're transforming into INESI, Income National E-Skills Institute, and now we have an integrated ATP, which includes also activities of the ESI branch. The summary of the quarter three targets is that we had 27 targets just relating to the APP. To that quarter, there were 27 targets, and out of 27 targets, 15 were achieved, 6 are in progress, and 6 are not achieved, but I'll take you through that. Because we work with financial year versus academic year, for the beginning of this academic year, just to highlight that we had already started with the recruitment of about 236 along with the MICT CETA for in creative media, and for the results year to date, we had about 218 students out of 230 who have successfully completed various multimedia programs, and we have through our DUT CoLab, have trained 469 community development workers, and we had 60 municipal officials trained in participation, and 60 learners trained in mobile applications development. But that's information that we'll aggregate for the year end 2014-2015. Chair, just a few things that we are working on with the department, which we are finalizing at the end of the quarter, would be the vacant position of the CEO, the board member. There's only one board member resignation, so we are working with the department on that to finalize with this quarter, and also the transfer of funds with regards to the APP regarding the ESI branch. We already finalized with the department last quarter. When we look at corporate programs that we've got about four programs. So I'm going to start with administration. I'm only going to highlight the legends that are red or yellow, which is those are not achieved, which would be red, and yellow would be the ones that are partially achieved. On the part of corporate governance, the outstanding matter at the end of the quarter was the board self-evaluation and board committee self-evaluation. And those that are also internal audit evaluation that has to be done by the board and by the audit committee, and those were staying at the end of the quarter. We know that by the end of this financial year this will be done. Another matter is with regards to HR management. Usually we gave ourselves a target of 60 days turnaround time to actually recruit. The only outstanding at the end of the quarter was the CEO post, which was still to be finalized. Just moving on to financial management support under program of administration, we have two elements that we monitor also there, which is creditor and debtor payments collection days. They are both under 30 days, but the only one that actually we are working on is with regards to debtor collection. This is mainly because our student debt collection was a bit of a challenge from the previous financial years, but now we started monitoring it, and we were happy to say the first 6 months of the financial year, we managed to actually, through our new action plan, we managed to actually collect 50% of the debt. With regards to technology management, we were looking at ICT governance, looking at the in terms of ICT strategy and ICT framework. We have not achieved much on that. We have the framework approved the first quarter. That's one of the things that we achieved in the first quarter. But in the last quarter, we should have finalized the ICT strategy, which was not done. But to actually remedy that situation, it was the executive committee at the end of the financial quarter actually appointed an ICT committee, which comprises of the colleagues from the ESI branch and NEMISA, so that there is one that actually looks into the whole Incumbra Institute. With regards to asset management, the asset count for the quarter was not finalized by the end of financial year, but that was with regards to one sector of the asset management, which was our technical assets at Parktown, which was not finalized, but that matter was with regards to resignation of employee in that unit. So that is going to be finalized this quarter. Looking at effective management of all units, the only thing that I can mention there is that we had a problem with the appointment of the CEO, which is going to be finalized at the end of this quarter, and the percentage variance between operational versus budget, the variance on monthly quarters was not done because the divisional managers did not give feedback on time with regards to the last quarter on why they actually exceeded the budget. But by the beginning of the last quarter, we had actually finalized that matter. But at the end, we hadn't actually had a response. With regards to performance review frequency, it was also not achieved. That's because the third quarter was the quarter that we actually approved and recruited an HR manager. So there was a bit of a learning curve or information that she was still gathering by the end of the quarter, so that was also not achieved. Looking at the next program, which is multi-stakeholder collaboration. Multi-stakeholder collaboration is ensuring that we actually partner with our stakeholders and ensuring that we do not duplicate and we actually for effective also management of our of institutes in terms of visibility, leveraging on platforms, new partnerships that we engage with, and so that we actually maximize the resources and sustainability of the institution. We only had partially achieved with regards to the number of new partnerships formalized. We had about 5 partnerships formalized. Some of them were still in progress by the end of the quarter, but we envisaged that the last quarter we would have actually finalized those some partnerships that are for the institution. The e-competency, e-astuteness development program speaks about our training and development. Last quarter is the quarter that we aggregate all the numbers with regards to learners trained in e-literacy sector, users, ICT practitioners. We looked at e-leaders trained, but for that quarter, for quarter three, we only had about 1,304 learners trained, mainly because we had to scale down our ATP in a number of looking at the budgets that we've got, and that we will not be able to actually reach the numbers that we have actually recorded. So that's what something that we were negotiating with the department with regard to our scale down ATP for the year 2014-15. The next one, which is Knowledge for Innovation, that's actually our research and innovation program. The number of research chairs allocated, we had not achieved. That was with regards to the delay with us negotiating with the department with regards to funds, and that was actually resolved with the department at the end of the quarter. So we deferred it to not only this quarter, but we said we actually have to be something that deferred to the next quarter, to the next financial year, because of the preparations that is involved in actually in this target. And the next one, chair, being aggregation. That's the number of eSkills Summit hosted. Due to the delay in funds, we had to actually scale down to the summit to a conference, which is something that was done in the last quarter. And we actually didn't hold the summit, but we had an eSkills conference, which went very well in October last year. Chair, just looking at financial performance, other income, we showed a positive variance because year to date we have collected about 2 million versus a budgeted of about 830. This is due to the fact that we're doing a lot of projects with our multi-stakeholder collaboration. We've started a project with the Moses Kotani Institute for Graphic Design project, and we have a broadcasting engineering project that we're running with the SABC. And Chair, we had also a overhead showed a positive variance of 2% to the vacant positions, and we made a surplus of about 2.7 million year to date. Just to show how we're performing, Chair, in quarter one, quarter two, and quarter three, and how we actually performing also year to date with regards to financials. Expenditure graphs that we have there is to show the expenditure per province, something that's really new for us because we're now working with co-labs. And with the co-labs now, it shows how we're actually spending with regards to different co-labs in the different provinces. We're actually showing also actual against budget, how we're doing in terms of actual against budget, direct expenditure and overhead expenditure. With regards to Auditor General findings, the action plans is that we had 20 findings. The institution has action plans that we have to submit to the board and to the audit committee after the Auditor General have actually audited. We don't only actually submit the Auditor General action plans, we also do it for internal audit. findings, and we call them remedial logs that have to be tabled at every board and audit risk management committee meeting with the progress report. Review of these plans at the end of the financial year is done by the internal audit. What the internal audit actually does is that they are one level of assurance to make sure that the action plans are done, so there is follow-up on audit, both on external and internal audit findings that were done during the year and from other previous year. We also have an institute strategic risk register that includes the income of a strategic risk register that was done by management that was tabled at the board audit and risk management committee. We also have the board also through the audit committee have a rule of they promote the no repeat findings and clean audit mechanisms, so they try to ensure that whatever information that comes to the board has already been audited or has been verified through the internal audit. Just to take you through a few findings that were resolved or unresolved, the matters that were affecting the audit report for the findings for 2013-2014, they were mainly on predetermined objectives, which is where target were not specific or measurable, indicators were not well-defined, the accuracy of target cannot be verified, and the shortcomings with regards to the annual performance report. The remedy for that was that first, it was the first time that we had an integrated APP with the ESI branch. So what we did was that we actually did a new APP that actually made sure that the targets are specific and measurable. And before we could actually table to the department and before we can actually table to the board, we actually had it audited by the Auditor General and our internal audit as part of the action plan. And the internal audit and the external audit did a sample of those targets and actually gave us a recommendation, and we had to resolve it before the departments approves it or the board approves it. With regards to the shortcomings with the annual performance plan, it's because the next annual performance plan is the 14-15 one, and what the audit committee resolved was that from all the quarterly reports that come to the board and to the audit committee and all the quarterly reports that actually get tabled to the department be also audited by the internal audit to make sure that there is no shortcomings to the performance or what management table to the audit committee is incorrect, so that there is evidence. There was also variance between quarterly and reports and variance between quarterly reports and the annual performance report, and the internal audit is also actually auditing that. Quarter one and quarter two has already been done already. The quarter three is still in progress. What the internal audit actually gives them recommendation on how to improve per quarter. The next one is shortcomings with regards to supply chain management policy. That's also in progress. We have actually updated the supply chain management policy. We just need to table it to the next step, which is the audit committee and the board for approval. The condonement of irregular expenditure is also in progress. There was a dispute between the Auditor General and ourselves, where the Auditor General said the board does not have authority to condone the irregular expenditure. Actually, National Treasury does, which is something that we are working with National Treasury on. The vacant positions not advertised and the number on the no human resource plan was something that we actually working with as part of our change management strategy and change management plan into when we're transforming into Canva. So we don't actually do it only for the NISA but for the whole institution. The no information technology strategy, that's a finding that I spoke about, that we are, the executive committee actually chose to have a ICT plan, ICT committee that includes the ESI branch, so that they come with an overall ICT strategy for the for the institution in Kangba, which was done and it needs to be finalized, but it's still in draft. It's not actually approved as yet. There is also the continuity plan and IT security policy. It's also in draft. It's because it only actually looks at them in MISA, currently in MISA strategy. It doesn't actually take into account the Inkamba business plans and APP. So that's why it's still in draft. We're still working on it with the ESI branch team. Okay, thank you, Chair. That's it from us.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I mean, the first point that I want to make is we are operating in an organization which is in transition. And you'll see the impact of the transition around issues that pertain to technology, people issues, because you want to know that, I mean, the people that you're employing, you're not going to have to fire tomorrow, you know, after you've finalized, I mean, your strategy for the new entity. And also, I mean, this also, I mean, you know, has been problematic in terms of, I mean, you know, pinning the executive down to Excel performance. Because as you know, that, I mean, you know, at some stage, I mean, we had to cut down on certain targets because there was no budget for those targets. So those have been the key challenges, I mean, you know, and also, I mean, you know, the fact that, I mean, you know, we also need to expand into the 9 provinces. So far, I mean, we're operating in 6 provinces and we are working on the 3 remainders. And also, there's also a challenge on our side to make sure that we involve the two new institutions, that is Solbaiki, because for the Northern Cape, I mean, we had VUT, I mean, you know, assisting us in the Northern Cape. Now that there's a Solbaiki University, we need to physically go there and make sure that, I mean, we've got partnerships with those. Equally so with the University of Mpumalanga, I mean, you know, we are actually speaking to them about that. And also the fact that, I mean, you know, for quite a while, I mean, you know, we never really had a CEO in the organization. That has also affected the performance within the organization. But I think I must also point out that, I mean, you know, what we've decided to do is basically to make sure that, I mean, the board really strengthens its oversight, that we strengthen the governance, you know, corporate governance within the organization, making sure that, I mean, what comes to us is the actual. Hence, I mean, we say that all the reports that are being sent to the board must actually be audited by internal audit. And in some instances, I mean, you know, we're also engaging the AG in order to assist us, make sure that, I mean, you know, our performance is in track, is on track. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Shall we move to Centec?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, Minister and Deputy Minister. First, my name is Chitumo Mohapi. I'm the CEO of Centec, here with the team, the Chairperson of the Audit Committee.
Thank you, CEO. My name is Zodwa, Zodwa Mbele. As he said, I'm the Chairperson of the Audit Committee. Preferably, you want us to start with the audit. Okay, then go ahead. Madam Chair, as you all, I think you are aware, in terms of the audit findings, I'll augment a little bit on the slide there. Centec for the past 2 years has achieved in audit, but that doesn't mean that there's been no housekeeping issues that have been uncovered, which really essentially what it means is it's just to improve your systems. They are not material such that they mistake your financial statements. So this is why you still get an clean audit irrespective of the housekeeping issues. Now, as an audit committee, we provide an oversight in ensuring that there is a game plan in addressing those uncovered findings.
and they report to us on quarterly basis with respect to the progress made, and also what we have to date as of I think it's a December report or October report. We have been informed and obviously assessed as well ourselves on the progress being made, that 52% of the issues have been addressed adequately, so resolved, and 10% of the issues are ongoing. And what we mean by that is ongoing activities. For instance, you still need to monitor them. You can't be complacent to that. Let's take a leave, for instance, example of a leave for HR. You cannot say that last month when you monitored it, it was adequately addressed, therefore you don't, you know, keep an eye on it in the following month. So it's an ongoing monitoring. And the 38% of the issues have not been fully addressed, and most of them relate to issues that will be addressable at year-end. So they relate to year-end related matters, balances. Some of it, for instance, there is an IT issue there that needs to be addressed in terms of the leave procedures. It's going to take slightly longer, so even by year-end it would not be addressed. However, what management has done has put a stopgap measure in ensuring that they are monitoring those leave issues manually, rather than to say, you know, we need to implement the system, therefore we'll wait until we have enhanced our IT system. So that's really the oversight that we are providing with regards to that. From our side as audit committee, we are quite comfortable that the matters are put on the radar, and the way we have, you know, these other, you know, financial issues that we are concerned about, where there's lack of funding, but it's not an audit finding. So those are the issues that get captured in the audit committee. I think that's that for now on the audit committee related matters.
And thank you very much, Chairperson. Continue with what is the summary of what is in the third quarter report. I must say that we also have other colleagues, the two other members of EXCO. Maybe they can introduce themselves, and also one of our managers.
Morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Committee Members, Minister, Deputy Minister. My name is Khangi Matabane. I'm the COO of Centec.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Minister and Deputy Minister. My name is Rosane Rasukinya. I'm the Chief Financial Officer.
Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Honourable Minister, Honourable Deputy Minister. My name is Monde Ngilini. I'm responsible for government relations. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. If we go to page 3 of the presentation that was submitted, that is a summary of two aspects of our performance, the first one being financial in the form of an income statement, and then the second one being the operations of the technical environment. On the financial side, for the third quarter, the revenue for the company on the continuing operations was above budget by about 12%, and year to date it was 5%, and the operating costs were lower, and the underlying earnings before tax, which is the interest and tax, the measure that we use for future funding of the organization, was also above budget by just above 49% for the third quarter, and then 44% for the year to date third quarter. I must say that if one looks at the full report, there were two unexpected lines that went into the revenue portion of the income statement. The first one was the money that was given to Centec on the basis of the work that Centec did for the funeral of the former president in the previous year. And that was just cost recovery there. And then we had also, at the time when we completed the corporate plan, we had not had confirmation that we have dual illumination beyond the 30 million that was with us at that point. But that confirmation came later, so we had budgeted only 30 million of dual illumination. And the confirmation that came later was that we would be funded fully for dual illumination. On the operation side, most of our services performed above
the target levels of performance in terms of availability. And how we measure availability is we just look at the, for example, on the radio transmitter network, we look at all the transmitters, how many hours in a month they should be on air. And then the reverse of that then is what we measure as the, or rather, that then becomes availability. So our target is 98.2 in general for most of our services. We did have a glitch on our VSAT service during the quarter, and that went below its target performance. We have previously stated that it is a very old system that we have there, and the mitigation on that is a complete rehaul of the entire VSAT environment, particularly putting a new system that is geared towards broadband services there. So that should, we shouldn't have that kind of performance in the moving forward. By the end of the third quarter, we had 60%, just 60% of our predetermined objectives. I must say that we only have few predetermined objectives, even though most of them are composite measures. For example, we only have one measure for availability of all our network services. But in there, it captures availability of the entire TV network, the entire radio network, and so on and so forth. Previously, we used to have 7 different measures for network performance, and the advice that we got was that we should consolidate that a little bit. So by the end of the third quarter, we had 60% of achievement on our predetermined objectives. And the next slide on page 5 shows, let me just talk about the specific cases where we had not achieved our targets. And we'll go into some detail there. On the VSAT, we had intended to put 135 terminals. By the end of the third quarter, we should have put 90, and we're way below the target there. So what we've done is that we've implemented a fairly a bit of innovation on an area of our operation that has been troubling us for some time, which is the viability of community broadcasters. So we have put up VSA terminals at the community broadcasters, all of them. And the first service that we are demonstrating there is the parliamentary channel that is currently on DSTV is now available as an audio channel for community broadcasters. So we will meet that target. In fact, we will exceed it. But at the same time, providing a fairly good service for community broadcasters. That whole same service will also be used to enhance the availability of community broadcasters in the sense of allowing them to syndicate content beyond, the parliamentary channel is an example of content syndication, but they can also syndicate different types of content to enhance the service that they're providing to their communities. But one of the other benefits also syndicating advertising. Our community broadcasters have the, as a group, the biggest audiences, more than any other radio station. And so this very same system will allow them to generate a lot more value from their advertising market. The second one was the web at the end of the third quarter we're checking below. Target was the implementation of ILABs around the country. Our target was 9 by the end of the third quarter. We must say that we are on track on this thing. We just need to make sure that we coordinate the places where we put this intervention so that they have the biggest impact. And we did get the support there. So by the end of the fourth quarter, will be done with us. The other part is the customer service and stakeholder index. Again, that's a very composite measure. Mm-hmm. That includes probably about 4 or 5 measures in it. That one, we can only do it at the end of the financial year. So we'll be running a survey at the end of this month. The last one is training. We did have some internal problems there. Our target at the third quarter was should have been 60% of our training target. And we're only at about 51%. I must say that that has also been sorted out by the end of the financial year. We would have exceeded that 80% target. The on a financial side, we do put some emphasis. I think you've mentioned that we, moving forward, we should put a lot more emphasis beyond the financials. For the financial year, the main emphasis was still on the financials, again, looking at the history of the company. and all the basic products on signal distribution. Well, there are two products that were did not do well that are under either development or turnaround. The first one is the medium wave, which is fairly regulated, and there's very little that we can do that is within our control. Shortwave, we're having a lot of discussions with a number of stakeholders there, SABC and the department, on how we can take or move the shortwave service into the digital age. And then on the satellite service, we've put a lot more effort there, change our tactics to be able to provide different stakeholders in the broadcasting access to a very scarce resource there, which is a satellite location that is used by most of the continent. And so during the quarter, we enabled a number of new satellite operators, OpenView HD, which was operating on a different satellite, moved to our environment, the Altec node that launched, also moved to our environment, and also we hosted additional services for multi-choice so that their new services will be coming off our environment. All that happened in the activations happened in the third quarter. And then on page 7 is the more detail about the income statement. We'll take that right, and then we'll take questions from there. On the capital side, most of the work went into DTT. At the end of that quarter, we had reached 83.6%, and the geographic coverage was 83.9, and we released the site that we implemented during that quarter. And then on page 10, that's a statement of our HR, which is fairly understated. In addition, I mean, what we show there is the headcounts, fairly close to targets in most areas except for the skills areas, where we are feeding that area through the learnership program. So it takes a little bit of time for us to get people in that environment. But we're putting a lot more effort into our learnership program. I must say, during the third quarter also, we completed and got the buy-in of organized labor on a number of policies, including a comprehensive talent management policy, comprehensive performance management policy, selection and recruitment policy that in particular looks at the development of all of this, look at the development of internal talent. We got the buy-in from organized labor there. We also got a big milestone with regard to our relationship with organized labor by signing off on a relationship by objective structure, which allows us to create new language and new frameworks for dealing with each other. The staff turnover was 1.9%, 0.9% of that, or a portion of that was resignations, and other ones were involuntary terminations. And we've already talked about the skills development from a training perspective. And we have dealt with the audit outcomes. And that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the presentation. I think, members, there's quite a number of issues and marathon of presentation that has come through. I'm not so sure if you want to take a stretch, 5 minutes. Let's take a 5-minute stretch and then we come back to the engagements.